This is Margaret Arjous, and I'd like to welcome you to Suki Yam. A series of programs about our well-being, wherein we examine methods which will enable us to obtain a harmonious state of mind, body, and spirit, with the collaboration of holistic practitioner and psychotherapist, Dr. Lydia Ukaneva. Hello, Dr. Lydia, and welcome to this program, Suki Yam, on Campus FM. And in our last program, we were talking about the 30 days of the month. It was so exciting listening to all that detail coming from you, Dr. Lydia. I never thought that our body was so very much like a clock.
It is like a laboratory. It's a very big alchemy process.
Incredible.
Going through us, and we just need to appreciate it. The divine creation made us so amazing.
So synchronized, maybe.
Synchronized, and compared to our nature, compared to the rhythms of nature outside. So it's mystery, just mystery. And the more we know about that, even from the medical side, the more it's leading into the understanding. It's life is very, very unknown, still unknown.
So are there any natural remedies women can take to balance their hormones and become fertile?
I will recommend first to use a fertility massage. So in the pelvic area, sacrum area, many people have infertility just because it's not enough blood and lymph circulation. So fertility massage is releasing the muscles, restoring the circulation, and it's really increasing the capacity to conceive a child. The other simple remedy you can find in any natural food store called Agnus Castus. The Chinese medicine offers its own remedy, also very popular. You can find it in any Chinese store. It's called Dong Quai root and the white peony. It's a flower. It's improving the pelvic circulation. As I mentioned, Agnus Castus, stimulating the pituitary gland and hypothalamus. Simple remedy, black cohosh, also you can find it in any natural store, regulating the hormones and reducing the hot flashes and reducing mood swings, balancing our emotions. Simple sage, Ayurvedic remedy from asparagus family called Shatavari, also very useful.
Shatavari, I've never heard of this one.
Shatavari is an Indian Ayurvedic remedy. In the literal translation, it means woman with 100 men.
Really?
Yes. So it's really balancing the hormones. And
can you find it in Malta?
Oh, yes, you can find it in Malta in Ayurvedic shop.
Mm-hmm.
In a Mediterranean culture, the chest barrier is very useful as well.
I've never heard of that one either.
Yes. People use it in your country from ancient time.
I would imagine that food plays a very important part and can be an important remedy.
I will repeat the benefit of leafy green smoothies, because leafy green smoothies are bringing detoxifying effect, and it's very much connected with the immunity and the endocrine balance. If women want to keep the fruit of the relationship, fruit of love, fruit of life, the child, she need to eat fruits, different fruits. It's a great nourishment. Of course, the fruits have to be raw. It have to be good qualities without pesticide. The best fruit is from the branches, the fresh. Very good cactus fruits, and you have it a lot. Very good haruba fruit mm-hmm. as well.
The carobs.
The carob fruit. Mm-hmm. Even tomatoes. Now I can suggest to eat it more cooked tomatoes. It's only one exception. Of course, the apples. If you do not have candida, you can have all the fruits. If you have a candida infection, first treat your candida and then still come for the fruits, because fruits are extremely beneficial product.
So, Dr. Lydia, we're talking about this synchronization, you know, which we seem to have lost. Can we blame it on genetics, or can we blame it on the wrong food?
Well, this question is not just simple to explain, because we are all different. We have a different psychophysiological constitution. In Ayurveda, it's called dosha. We are different by our genes. We are different by our culture and the food. I will start from the food, because the food is a catalyst of balance or imbalance. And because of that, we need to understand what type of food are we eating. Like, for example, it's not a secret now, more and more the information about how polluted our meat. The meat we're eating is highly polluted, sometimes with the steroids, with the hormones. So, of course, the body is receiving these substances and collecting it, and it's influencing our being. The other factor is the stress, because especially for a female's body, it can be physical stress, overworking at the time of puberty, or it can be emotional stress, it can be mental stress, overstudying, over worrying, it can be some traumatic situation of loss, like parents' loss, or someone who is close, so it's affected us. And actually, sometimes women who are passing through the trauma of loss can stop menstruating for even a couple of months. It can be over traveling, because different climates can affect us. It can be also relationship problems. It can be out of synchronicity relationship with the partner. So it can be over sexual life or very poor sexual life. Genetic determination is also affected. It's taking about 18%, 18-20%. It's not a higher percentage then, but it's there, and we have to count on that as well.
I guess that aphrodisiacs can help the couple to get pregnant. What can you tell us about this?
As aphrodisiac, we can use the aromatherapy. The oils like ylang ylang, kayaput oil for men, it's bringing the courage, neroli, patchouli. This is all the names of very soft, very gentle, joyful aphrodisiac. The aromatherapy is working fantastically for different areas of our brain and stimulate the production of semen and stimulating the ovulation process. Stimulating the fluid in a male and female's body. Don't forget the water, because to produce the fluids in our body, we need to use high quality water. People sometimes trying to replace it with the coffee or with some soft drinks. That is not the solution. The liquid of these drinks have a diuretic effect, so the water is moving out of the body. We need a good quality water, what our cells can absorb.
In men, infertility or a low sperm count are quite common, as we have already mentioned. Now, how can we prevent this, and how can we cure it?
One of the factors of low sperm count is the lifestyle. And the hyperdynamic lifestyle with low physical activities, a lot of heavy food and a lot of simple carbohydrates, causing this biochemistry of the body, which sperm are undeveloped and not active. Among the other factors, we should mention the electromagnetic pollution. So, in sum, each factor affects the vitality of sperm. Some factors have a genetic nature. Some people inherit the family problems where even in a male's body, the sexual chromosome, instead of XY, people have XX chromosome. The low sperm count also can be as a result of trauma, the testicle trauma. For example, I had a situation when a cyclist traumatized the testicles during some competition and then was infertile. Because of this low sperm count, the sperm didn't develop after this trauma properly.
So what role do sexually transmitted diseases play in all this?
It's a very crucial question because the fertility is very much affected by sexual transmitted diseases, especially chlamydia, especially gonorrhea and syphilis. Besides that, sexual transmitted disease creates the chronic inflammatory process in the reproductive system. So this inflammatory process, they are not allowing our reproductive system to function healthily. In some stage, it affects the moment of
conception.
In some of them affecting the phase of egg implantation into the wall of the womb. The other affect the sperm development, and it's one of the factors of a low sperm count. Some of them have this abortive effect, so it's a regular miscarriages on the early phase of the fetus development. We have to understand clearly the necessity to treat sexual diseases, and it have to be treated as a couple. So the person who are mostly affected shouldn't have a UNO treatment. It have to be, even if the partner is not affected by this disease, have a maybe stronger immune system, this person still contaminate the partner back. So it's a reversive problem. So this is why it's essential to treat a couple.
The problem is, Dr. Lydia, that when you meet someone, I mean, you're not going to tell him, listen, let me screen you before I sleep with you. So what happens is that the culprit has already passed on the condition before the partner realizes.
We have to understand one very important, crucial point. We need to respect ourselves. We need to respect our sexuality. We need to respect our body. And we need to respect our future. So our reproductive system is a temple for our future. So we need to keep it sacredly and pure. And of course, I know, like, life now is quite unpredictable. But we have to keep our mind pure and do not think about sexuality as something low, something dirty. Because we have to lift it up in our understanding. Our sexuality is a cause of our life in this planet.
As you had said, something sacred.
Yes, it's very sacred. So we need to understand if we have dishonesty with our partner, or unknowingly, knowingly or unknowingly, we get this disease. We just need to simply treat it like we're treating our cold, like we're treating our liver problems, like we're treating our heart problems. I know it's a social shame about it because it's connected to sometimes not honest behavior. It's a moral question. But we have to understand it's a very important part of our body, our reproductive system.
is Margaret Arjus, and you're listening to Sukhiyam on Campus FM with our resident guest, Dr. Lydia Ukaneva. And today we are discussing fertility. Now, a lot of couples have to resort to artificial insemination, and I came across this information that in 2006, researchers in Israel found that women taking clomiphene citrate, this is part, of course, of the treatment that they receive, had an elevated risk of cancer. When the hormones were overstimulated, there was severe abdominal pain, blood clots in the legs or lungs, fluid imbalances of the blood, severe vomiting, male infertility, deficiencies in the semen and semen quality. So, what are your comments regarding this, regarding artificial insemination?
Well, I think the specialist always discussing with the couple about some side effect. I'm not a specialist on this area, so I cannot give a professional answer. But just by professional experience, I can say some women are traumatized psychologically because the insemination is unnatural. Some men also traumatized psychologically because the insemination is unnatural. Artificial insemination can lead to multiple pregnancies when it is not only one fetus, it's few fetuses, and it can give some difficulties during pregnancies. At the same time, I know many happy families who are really enjoying their mother-fatherhood, so it's very, very individual choices. One of the important conditions for our fertility is synchronicity. And if we're talking from the point of view of vibrational medicine, we have to be in unison, in unity with each other. The synchronicity we can get through some very simple exercises, like to get the rhythm of each other, or to have a meditation together, or to join something, like people like to watch some films or to listen to the same music, to joke the same jokes, people going for lunches, they eating together the same dishes. This is few nuances.
Even going for a walk together, you can talk while
exactly.
You're walking.
So our talk, our communication, if our relationship going without communication, we are living in Wonderland, so we do not understand each other.
The relationship becomes sterile.
Exactly, so we are projecting on each other our own problems and our own thoughts. And then we expect something what our partners do not know. So it's creating a lot of distance between us. And it's also decreasing the fertility because it is no mood, it is no attraction. When women use contraceptive pills for a long time, it's depleting the aroma of the energy. And during the menstrual time, woman producing special energy, the special shininess and aura. And actually, I was involved in this research on aura, and I saw the woman, the same woman, the same individual, in a period, in a menstrual time, and before and after, the aura is so shiny. Even women feel more tired and more sensitive, but the aura is so shiny. So it's making women more attractive. That's why now it's quite fashionable to use HRT, even if it has some side effect, for women over 60, 70, to keep this shininess. But we can prolong our use by natural remedies. We just need to be aware, and we need to do every day something what we didn't do before. A couple should create some adventures for their togetherness, because without challenge we are bored.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lydia, for your wonderful, helpful advice for all these couples who are listening to us.
You're welcome.
And our next program, Dr. Lydia, is going to be about cancer.
Yes, very sad topic.
Well, I think that we have to tackle it as well. And since we have enough time today, I thought of reading something which I got from a report which comes from the World Health Organization. And it says that untested synthetic chemicals found in many household and industrial products could be associated with adverse health outcomes, including low fertility. The report looked at the effect of endocrine disrupting chemicals, EDCs, on human health and wildlife. It found evidence suggesting an association between certain chemicals and adverse effects on the endocrine system, a network of glands that releases hormones, that could lead to health problems. The report concludes that further research is needed to investigate the connection between EDCs and certain diseases, and called for more widespread testing methods. EDCs are chemicals that can disrupt the action of hormones in the body, altering the function of the endocrine system. This may increase the risk of adverse health effects and can lead to reduced fertility and infertility, amongst other problems. EDCs can occur naturally or can be produced synthetically and are used in the production of cosmetics, textiles, plastics and pesticides. Once released into the environment, some chemicals can travel to remote regions and can also affect food products. Exposure to humans may occur by the ingestion of food, dust or water, or through the air. The report also says children have a higher exposure to EDCs because of their hand-to-mouth activities. Chemical products are increasingly part of modern life and support many national economies, but the unsound management of chemicals challenges the achievement of key development goals and sustainable development for all, said United Nations Under Secretary General and UNEP Executive Director Achim Steiner. EDCs include persistent organic pollutants such as PCBs and DDT, banned in many countries over 20 years ago. PCBs have been linked to IVF failure. This was reported in BioNews. The report says new sources of human exposure to EDCs have now been identified, making them a continued cause for concern. The authors of the report make it clear that studies have not demonstrated a causal link between exposure to ECDs and potential health problems in humans, but that over the past 10 years, animal and human studies have produced greater evidence of such an association. Infertility was seen to have been induced by exposure to EDCs in animal and human models, but further research is needed to investigate this potential link. Research has made great strides in the last 10 years, showing endocrine disruption to be far more extensive and complicated than realized a decade ago, said Professor Arke Bergman of Stockholm University and chief editor of the report. As science continues to advance, it is time for both management of endocrine disrupting chemicals and further research on exposure and effects of these chemicals in wildlife and humans. The report acknowledges that due to the complexity of exposure to EDCs and disease etiology, it may never be possible to be absolutely certain that a specific exposure causes a specific disease or dysfunction. It emphasizes that we do not, however, know enough about EDCs. Known EDCs are only the tip of the iceberg, it says. The report recommends greater testing of unknown EDCs and research into the effects of mixtures of EDCs on humans and wildlife. It also says that many sources of EDCs are not brought to the attention of researchers because of insufficient reporting. And this report, as I mentioned, was brought to you by the World Health Organization. I just hope that you found today's program informative, and if you have any queries, then send an email to campusfm.um.edu.mt, and you can listen to us on 103.7 FM on Tuesday at 1:30, Wednesday at 10:30, and Saturday at 12:30. If you'd like to listen to us on the internet, click on www.MaltaUniversityBroadcasting.com. And until we meet again, this is Margaret Arduz, who would like to leave you with this thought. Being a parent is dirty and scary and beautiful and hard and miraculous and exhausting and thankless and joyful and frustrating all at once. It's everything. Thank you.